I want to welcome everybody that's watching online this evening. Been a pretty day. Thank the Lord for it. Glad to be here with you tonight. See, Mimi let Brother Lewis come. She lets him out of the house every now and then. Love you, brother. I didn't say where we are. We're in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. If you're watching online, get out your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 12. That's where we're at this evening. I was telling Bill up here that before we started this evening that this portion of Scripture is really challenging. It strips us down to the bare us, and it reveals to us exactly where we fall short so many times as a Christian. As a human being myself, as you are yourself, we have this flesh we drag around with us, and within that flesh there is a lot of things that aren't good and give us problems. And we'll be looking at some of those things this evening. Romans is a great doctrinal book. When you start out in the book of Romans chapter 1, Paul begins to lay out his case that all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. He builds his case as he talks about God has revealed himself through creation, made himself known. There's none without excuse because he has revealed his power, his Godhead, his authority through what has been created. Then he goes on in chapter 2, and we find that chapter 2 and 3, we find the depravity of man. That man in his condition is terribly lost, separated from God by sin, can do nothing to save himself. And it shows us very vividly what kind of life we have without Christ. Then comes the doctrine of justification, that we're justified, we're declared righteous by an act of God, because of what Christ Jesus did for us on the cross. That it's all grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. And he builds his case of justification only through the righteousness of Christ that is a gift from God, that is given us by the grace of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. Then you continue on in the book of Romans, and you come to a time of teaching of sanctification. He tells us that we should be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And he tells us and explains to us in there how the Holy Spirit of God can lead us. And shows us there our shortcomings as well. And it all leads up, all these different doctrinal studies, which are tremendous and absolutely necessary in the Word of God. It all leads up to what you come to in chapter 12. So when you come to chapter 12, it's no longer doctrinal like it was. Now it's practical. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where you take that which you have learned doctrinally and you apply it to your own life. And as you apply it to your own life, you find out, you know what? This is difficult. This is difficult. Like the Sermon on the Mount is difficult. In other words, what God is saying, unless you have my Spirit living in you to empower you and to change you, you can't do this. You can't live this kind of life. And even with my Spirit in you, and even with the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling you, it's going to be difficult. You're going to have to make every effort. Make every effort. If you're going to live the way I'm teaching you to, Because you see, God intends for you and I who have been saved by the grace of God to be different from the world, to be different from the society in which we live, to be different from other people that have never been born again. Lost people do what lost people do, and so did we. And for saved people to do what saved people should do, it's not easy. But we're going to look at some of those things tonight. And if they challenge you like it challenges me, that's a good thing. Because we all need to understand where we fall short. And we all need to understand that I'm not a finished product yet. There's a lot of work to be done here. Just ask Kay. She can tell you that. A lot of things in my life need to change. And being saved is a journey that begins with your repentance and your faith in Christ. And as you go throughout that journey, God is doing His work in your life to change you, to make you into something that only God could make. And He's wanting to do that because you and I are representative of His Son, Jesus Christ. And whether you know it or not, people are watching your life and they're watching my life to see how I handle things, to see how I respond. I always say it's not so much how I act, it's how I react. It's what comes out of me when I'm shaken. What comes out of me when things aren't going right. Comes out of me when things are really difficult. When things I think shouldn't happen to me happen, and when things I think should happen to me don't happen. And so we find ourselves in that place. And so tonight, as we look in chapter 12 of the book of Romans, this is kind of the idea and the overview of what we're looking at. And I'm going to begin back in verse 1 of the 12th chapter. We're going to pick it up there, and we're going to go from there, because he said this is your spiritual act of worship. And he also says that the whole purpose of this is not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the power of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a lot of transforming to do right here and right here. And as we go through it, I think you'll see that for yourselves. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as what? Living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know, when I read this, I automatically think about Sundays. You know, we can walk in here on Sunday and we can play the part pretty good. We can put on our Sunday face, our Christian face, our Christian attitude, our Christian walk. We can say the right things, do the right things, look the right way. But what about the rest of the time? That's what really matters, isn't it? I was talking to Bill. He watches the old TV shows. Good thing to do because they're a lot better than the new ones. One thing that he likes to watch, and one thing that was my favorite show when it was on television, was Kids Say the Darndest Things with Art Linkletter. Kids will just tell you the truth. Yeah, but they'll still tell you the truth. I picked Hazel up this morning and brought her to church and Sunday school with me, and she talked like a magpie all the way here. Sometimes I could understand what she was talking about, sometimes I couldn't. When I couldn't, I just said, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. But they will tell you the truth. I've told the deacons before, I say, I ask your kids, do your mom and dad fight like they used to? I say, but but they'll tell you the truth, right? Sometimes truth can be a dangerous thing because it tells us who we really are. So as we dig into this tonight, he goes on and say, verse 2, do not conform any longer. Now, why in the world would he say that? Well, a couple of reasons. One, you've been saved, right? You've been changed. You have the Spirit of God living in you. And the second reason is, he knows you better than you know yourself. It's amazing to me when I pick up the Bible and read it, the Bible picks me up and reads me. And a lot of the times, I don't like what I'm reading. If I just be honest with you. Because it's so honest. It's just like those little kids. If you don't want to know the truth, don't ask. Because they'll tell you. So will Scripture. They'll tell you. Do not any longer be conformed to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world is a dreadful thing. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. Now, we've already studied this part, but I'm just going to run through it real quick, okay? Do you think more highly of yourself than you ought? I think that's one of mankind's greatest problems. They think of themselves more highly than they ought. Because if we really understand everything, I was made from dirt and I'm going back to dirt. The only thing I've got in me that's good is Christ Jesus and the Spirit of God, and my spirit and soul is going to live throughout the ages of the ages of the ages. And God is going to reach down in the dirt that He created me from and give me a glorified body. Don't that beat all? Here I am, 79 years old, look like I'm 99 years old, and God's going to give me a glorified body, perfect in every way, absolutely glorious in every sense. You know that God, He does everything well, doesn't He? He does everything well. He says, for the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Think of yourself with sober judgment. You know the trouble with mirrors? They look just like you. Every time I look in the mirror, I see myself. I really don't like what I see now. Huh? I really don't like what I see now. I mean, I look at pictures when I was 17. Now, I'm not the same person, I'm going to tell you. If you want to look at yourself with sober judgment, stand in front of a mirror with your clothes off. You will sober up real quick. If you're 79 years old, I mean, I got Lewis and Mimi talking now. With sober judgment. In other words, what I see with sober judgment when I look at myself is what God sees when He looks at me. I see what God sees when He looks at me. With the measure of faith God has given, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body. And now we're talking about the ecclesia, we're talking about the church, and each member belongs to all the others. What does that mean? Each member belongs to all the others? Does that mean I own everything you own? Or does it mean we're all accountable to each other and to God? That we'll all be held accountable. And none of us are an island to ourselves. what I do will reflect on you because you're part of the body of Christ here and I'm a part of the body of Christ. So how I live will reflect on Lewis. How Lewis lives, reflect on me. How Jason lives, reflect on Keith. How Keith lives, reflects on Jason. We're all part of the body of Christ. We belong to one another, so we're accountable to God and to one another. So in Christ, we are many form one body. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern gently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. In other words, whatever God has gifted you with, use it for His glory. Use it for His glory. Because that's why you have it. That's why you have it. Whatever that gift is, God has given it to you to use for His glory. Everybody's different. Everybody's not the same. We all have different gifts. That's good. Because all of us, it takes all of us to make up the body of Christ. It takes all of us with our different gifts to make the church what God intended for the church to be. Now, we get to where we were the last time I taught on Sunday night, which was November the 13th. Seems like it's been that long anyway. He says, love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. You know, one thing I hate is fake anything. I want to see the real thing. And especially in people. When you look at me, I pray you know that what you see is what you get. When I look at you, I want to see the same thing. What I see is what I get. Real. Something that's real. The world is dying to find something that is real. Something that is sincere. Love. Love is the greatest gift that God has given us. When we love one another like Christ loved us, the people out there, you know who they'll see? They won't see us, they'll see Christ. They'll see Christ. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. One thing we're going to be looking at tonight as I get to it is, man, if you're hurting, I'm hurting. If you're rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. I rejoice with those that rejoice. I mourn with those that mourn. I weep with those that weep. We're all in this together. All in it together. Be joyful in hope. That's what keeps us going, isn't it? And it's not a hope so, it's a no so. My hope is real. My hope, I'm going to celebrate my hope next Sunday on Resurrection Sunday. My hope rose from the dead on the third day. My hope sits at the right hand of God the Father. My hope spoke creation into existence. My hope holds it together by the power of His Word. My hope is coming back to get me because He loves me and died in my place. My hope is alive and can never die because He's already rose from the dead. So I have a living hope. And my hope can never die because my hope is Jesus Christ. My hope is not in me, it's not in a denomination, it's not in a church, it's not in a name, it's not in anything else, but the one who is above every name, the one that overcome death, hell, and the grave, rose from the dead on the third day, sits at his right hand of the Father, and is just waiting for the Father to look over at him and say, "Son, it's time. Son, it's time." Share. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Boy, is that tough. My wife says when I'm sick, I'm sicker than anybody. I think that's a man thing. All the women are going like this, and all the men are going like this. Thank you, brother. I won't tell you what he said. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. It's usually in our affliction that we really pray, isn't it? Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Well, we've got through the easy part. That's the easy part. Now comes the hard part. Oh my gosh. I mean, it really gets difficult now. This goes against the grain. This goes against everything my flesh lives and breathes and lives for. It goes against all my humanity. It goes against every presupposition and thought and mind that I ever had before I was saved. And it goes against the social values and the worldview of this world and everything that is in it. It is absolutely, totally opposite to everything the world believes in and practices and carries on. The audacity of God to tell me that I'm supposed to bless those that persecute me. Who's he think he is anyway, God? Does he know how difficult this is? And I haven't even suffered persecution like they did, and neither have you. But we might. And he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Bless and do not curse. One of the things I hate about social media, and I do hate it, there's very little blessing going on. But there's a whole lot of cursing going on. There's very little building up going on. But there's a whole lot of tearing down going on. People say things that should not ever be said, because they can't be held accountable. I don't want to get into politics, but this business at the library in Metropolis, people said things should not have been said. They said things that God would never have had them say. How in the world are we going to win the loss to Christ if all we do is hate, trash, curse, and tear down? How in the world can it be done? Lost people do what lost people do. And we're not lost. We had a man that I used to have come preach revivals. We used to have revivals all the time. That tells you how old I am. Name was Dixon Ra. Preached a great sermon one time. The title of his sermon was Carry a Little Honey. That's what it's all about. Everywhere you go, everything you touch, every word you speak, everything you do ought to have honey on it. It ought to have honey on it. You can catch a whole lot more with honey than you can with vinegar, than you can with spite, than you can with hatred, than you can with jealousy, than you can with envy. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. I like this one better. I like to rejoice, don't you? Huh? Hey, I like to rejoice. When something good happens to you, I feel like something good happened to me. I'll rejoice with you. I'll say, praise the Lord. You know, I used to have a fishing buddy. He's in heaven now. Name was A.W. Landis. I don't know how any of you knew A.W. or not. His daughter, Darlene, stood up with Kay and I when we got married. Never got over it. But she stood up with us. Very beautiful family. Thelma still lives down in Hartsville, Alabama with Darlene and John down there in Alabama. We had a great relationship, A.W. and I did. I called him Purse. He called me Duck. We was fishing in the creek there at Dog Creek. He was in the front of the boat. I was in the back. He was catching fish. He was where the brush was. I was out in the middle of the creek where there wasn't no brush and there wasn't no fish. Every time he'd catch a fish, he'd say, praise the Lord. I looked at him and I said, A.W., I sure wish I could praise the Lord. I was just teasing. I was glad he's catching fish. That meant I get to eat. You know, when you're out in the middle of the creek and the other guy's catching a fish, just praise the Lord because he's catching fish. Just praise the Lord because your neighbor was blessed. Just praise the Lord because somebody you prayed for got well. Just praise the Lord because somebody you love loved you back. Just praise the Lord because of those good things that come in your life. I picked a little Hazy up this morning. Man, I praise the Lord. Taylor said, Papa, she's been waiting on you since 7:30. I said, good Lord. Papa, we're going to church. I said, you bet we are, honey. Get in that car seat. Buckle her in. We're ready to go. She's talking like a magpie. I'm thinking, I must be one of the luckiest guys in the world. She is funny. She's mean as a snake, too, but she's funny sometimes. You are, Hayes. God's gift. God gives us so many good things. And there are bad things. We're hurt. And when one of us hurts, it hurts us all. I feel you. I feel your pain. I feel your heartache. I feel your suffering. Went by and saw Bubba Dodge yesterday. His eyes are really swollen. Looked at him and I thought, my goodness, Bubba, what's wrong with you? They haven't found out yet what's wrong with him, but he is getting better, by the way. I told him we'd pray for him. But I looked at him and I thought, that has to really hurt. That has to really hurt. I left there thinking, God, don't let that man lose his side. Let that man lose his side. Do you care? You care. You care about each other. And if you don't care about each other, then you've never been saved. Because when you get saved, and they get saved, you're family. You're family. And you care about them. And when they rejoice, you rejoice. You say, praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good? Toots got baptized this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. I never knew what her name was till this morning. All I knew was Toots. But I was so happy for her. I told her after church. Rejoice. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another. Be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. We need more peacemakers. People that sow peace instead of hatred and strife and discontent. There's enough of that in the world. Thank God there's coming a day when it'll be gone. But there's so much of it in our world today. Hatred, discontent, strife. Everywhere you look. You know, I hear people talk and I hear them say things like, I can't understand how God could let anyone go to hell. And I look at this world I live in, I look at my own life, and I look at everything around me, and I'm thinking, I can't see how God could take anyone to heaven. There is so much hurt, so much pain, so much hatred, so much envy, so much jealousy, strife, everywhere you look. Wars and rumors of wars. Thousands of people being killed, children. Suffering, heartache, families torn apart, all around the world, famine. You see, everything that Revelation talks about is happening right now, whether you know it or not. People are starving to death in places. They can't get food. There's so much hurt, so much pain, so much strife. That each of us, as a born-again believer and a child of God, we've got to carry a little honey. We've got to be peacemakers. We've got to sow love. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. I like that, don't you? Huh? I like harmony. I can't sing, but I like harmony. Huh? I remember being on vacation, John and Lisa Stewart sitting back there. Found out John could sing. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. He can sing like the Dickens. Huh? You can't sing either? That's not a gift God gave us, honey. That's just, we struck out. Well, I do all right till I open my mouth, and then it all falls apart. You know what I feel when I come through those doors and I come in this place and I see you? I feel peace. I feel peace. When I talk to you, when I see you, when I hear you, there's peace. There's a peace because you've got the Prince of Peace. There's a peace with God and the peace of God. And that peace goes beyond anything you can imagine. Because when everything's said and done, and nobody remembers who Jack Russell was, I'll be living in peace. with the Prince of Peace, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, as I look at this and I think about that, I think about so much, God, that we can live in peace and harmony with one another, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. He says, do not be proud. Do not be proud. Now, we're going to take that do not be proud, and we're going to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And that's right after Ephesians. General Electric Power Company. Philippians chapter 2. And this is so good because it gives me something to look at to shoot for as a believer. And this is what he says. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, well, do you have that? Are you encouraged? Are you encouraged? Are you comforted? Do you know you're loved? Do you know you're loved? Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives in you, speaks to you, comforts you, leads you, guides you, teaches you. The Holy Spirit. He does all those things in your life. Well, he's saying if you have these things, and you do have those things, he said, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Isn't that just what we read back there in Romans? Do not be proud. What in the world have I got to be proud of except Jesus? What in the world have I got to be proud of? Because everything in my life that's good is because of Him. It's not because of, you know, you say, well, you graduated from high school. Boy, praise God. Made it. Graduated from college. Praise God. Made it. Never made that without Christ. Everything in my life. The woman I married. I could never found that woman. I could never pick that woman. Are you kidding me? This girl from over in West Kentucky lived around Heath. Heck, I'm just glad my best friend dated her. That's how I found her. You know, we dated sisters. I dated his wife. He dated my wife. See, God's got a sense of humor. Yeah. I married Kay. He married Nancy. I got the best deal. God is good. God is good. I'm encouraged every day because of who Christ is and what He did for me. I'm comforted every day by the Holy Spirit because I know the best is yet to come. I live in love every day because I know the cross, Jesus showed His love for me. If I'd been the only person on planet Earth, Christ would have died for me. I've never felt such love in my life as when I got saved. Man, I'm comforted. I'm loved. I'm encouraged. He says, now if you've got that, make my joy complete. You take that love, that comfort, and that encouragement you've got, and you share it with others. And you share it with others. Because they need that more than they need their next breath. They just don't know it yet. They just don't know it yet. So this is what he's saying here. He said, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. But what kind of mind did he have? He did not consider being equal with the Father and the Spirit something to hold on to. grasp, but was willing to let go of it, become a man, walk on earth, be crucified on a cross, die for our sins, raised from the dead on the third day, seated at the right hand of the Father, King of kings, Lord of lords, one day is coming back for us, exalted on high, given a name that's above every name. That's who my Christ is. That's the one that died for me. And all he's asked me to do is live for him, who being in the nature of God did not consider equality with God something to hold on to. What are you holding on to? Let me tell you something. If you're holding on to this world, it won't last. It won't last. If you're holding on to this culture, this society, if you're holding on to this or some material thing or to your bank account or something else, it won't last. The only thing that's going to last is Christ. The only thing that's going to last is who you are and what you have in Christ. That's the only thing that's going to last. Everything else is going to fade away. And we're not far from it. That it's going to fade away. All right, that's all I'm going to read there. I'm going back to Romans. Because I'm going to quit a little early because we've got a couple of things we need to do. He says, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Are we guilty of that? Think about it. Somebody comes through the door next Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Their hair's unkempt. They got on bib overalls, a tattered shirt. Shoes are dirty. And they walk in. What do you do? What do you do? Have you already made up your mind about them? Have you already decided? You've already put a label on them. You've already decided who they are and what they're worth and what they can't be. Or do you go to them and say, glad you're here. Glad you're here. Can I help you find a seat? If you don't have anywhere to sit, sit by me. You don't have anywhere to sit, sit by me. Don't want you to sit alone. Somebody drives up in a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce or a Mercedes. Got a $1 million suit, diamond ring, classy. You can tell they're elite. You run up to them and say, sir, can I help you? You know what I found? I've preached in Jamaica and I've preached South America and I've preached in Peru, preached in the jungle. It's usually the people that have the less that have the most. I've met people that live in a cardboard shack in what's called New City outside of Lima, Peru. And New City's kind of, they call it New City because it's always building. It's always building. There's over 10 million people in Lima. And outside of Lima, if you go outside the city itself, you'll find that there's a concrete house. I mean, it's made out of concrete blocks. It's got a metal roof on it. Metal roof on it. Well, what does that mean? It means that they've been there long enough and they've worked long enough and had a job to where they could buy some concrete blocks and they could buy some metal. And they made them a house out of those concrete blocks, and they took that metal they were able to buy, and they put a roof over it. So they got a house. They got a concrete block house, and they got a metal roof over it. Well, you go on out a little further outside the city, and you find that here's some folks here, and they just got a few concrete blocks and one piece of metal. They ain't got a house yet. Then you go on outside of that, outside the city of Lima, and you find out, well, here's some folks, they ain't got a concrete block, and they ain't got any metal. They got cardboard. They got cardboard over their heads, and they got cardboard around the walls, and that's all they got. They got cardboard. Because, see, they hadn't been there very long. They just got there. They're just trying to help themselves. And see, you got all these stages as you go into Lima, Peru. And that's why they call it New City, because it's changing all the time. But you know, I went to church where some of those people lived in those cardboard houses. They was happier than the people I knew in the city that lived in the big houses. Because they had it in here. They didn't have it in here, but they had it in here. And they were happier than anybody else. I went to church with them, never heard people sing so loud, praise the Lord, clap, shout. What a wonderful time they were having. They might have been poor in money, but they were rich in Jesus. But they were rich in Jesus. Sometimes we look at people and we put a value on them from what we see. And you never want to do that. You never want to do that. God says, you better realize that many of those in a low position are in a high position with me. Now, I don't know about you, but all this challenges me. It challenges me every day of my life. Because every day of my life, I run into everything that I've talked about here. And every day of my life, I've got to have a talk with myself and say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And believe you me, there's a lot of stuff we do he wouldn't do, and a lot of stuff he would do we don't do. And so as a Christian, growing and changing and becoming what God called me to be every day, I look at this and it challenges me right down to the very root of who I am, that I might live a life that is pleasing to Christ and not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of my mind in Christ Jesus by the Word of God. We're going to quit right there for tonight with our online. If you can cut me offline up there, appreciate it. Thank you, son. Jana, come up here, honey.